I want to tell y'all, I always tell every church this. How many of y'all want to get out after a while and go eat or something, right? Now, if you don't amen me, I get real nervous. And I forget where I am on my outline, so I have to go back and start all over again. So let me hear a good amen this morning. All right, okay. And we thank the Lord for that. And we need to be through at what time, preacher? Sunday school. Okay, all right. Tell you what, let's do. If you've got any questions from my wife or I about the starting of the church, we'd be happy to answer those for you. But right now, I want you to open up with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna pass you out an outline on what I'm gonna teach this morning. And my problem is, all right, Pastor, thank you. Okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah, no problem. Well, we'll give you what we can in this time. Don't you love the Word of God? And thank God that He has given us His eternal Word. Did I ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians 3? All right, good. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And thank the Lord for that. I want to talk to you. If I could teach every believer in the world one lesson, those that have truly been born again, this would be the lesson that I would teach. Not because it's any new revelation, but it's old truths that are found that help us to grow as a believer. Look what Paul said. Let's read the scripture, then we'll pray again. Let's pray, and then we'll read the scripture, because I want to comment on some things as we go through here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, look at verse 9, but let's pray before we do. Father, we ask you'll forgive us of our sin and fill us with your Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for your love for us. And we thank you, dear Lord, for Independent Baptist Church. And we thank you that, Lord, they're continuing to go on, continuing to preach the gospel, continuing to try and get people saved, and continuing to honor and glorify you. And we pray that, dear Lord, you would just bless and use this time to honor and glorify you. Help us to grow in you. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Sorry, let me get my outline out here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And the Bible says, for we're laborers together with God. Now, I'm just going to walk you through this for a moment. What an exciting thing. I want you to, all of you that are saved, give me a good amen. Amen. I want you to think about, we are laborers together with God. What an amazing thought that is, that God allows you and I to work for Him. The God that spoke the universe into existence. What a mighty God that we have. I was reading something some time ago, or listening or something, but it talked about that our Earth is in the Milky Way galaxy, and there's between 200 and 400 million stars in the Milky Way. Now, today, scientists are still discovering entire galaxies, not just stars, but entire galaxies. And who made those? Our God did. And that's who we get to work for. And sometimes we think we're so inadequate, and we are. All of us are inadequate. It doesn't, regardless of who we are, without God's power, without God's direction, we're inadequate. But with God, Paul said, I can do what? All things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So he said, we're laborers together with God. Pastor and I had lunch together yesterday, and we were just talking about the, very shortly, we talked about a lot of things, but very shortly we talked about the amazing thing that God would call us to preach. But think about this, regardless of what you do for the Lord, you're a laborer together with God. We're not laboring by ourselves. He said, for we are laborers together with God. Now notice what he said. You are God's husbandry. Husbandry has to do with farming. It has to do with ranching, raising animals. So he says, you're like a farm. And then he says, you are God's building. And our lives, from the day we get saved until we go to heaven, is in a constant process of spiritual building, or should be, in our lives, regardless of what it is, that we are a building for God. He said, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Now I want to stop right there. Normally we take this text and apply it exactly the way I'm going to apply it today, and that's about our personal lives. But that's really borrowing what the Scripture says. The Scripture is talking about ministry, and he's saying, Paul is saying, I laid the foundation. Like he started the churches, then he turned them over to someone else, and they were to build that church. Like in 89, we started the church. And then we left, and Brother Anchor come, and he continued to build. Brother Carey come, and he's continuing to build. And that's why I always like to be totally truthful about whatever text I'm using here. But I want to apply this without doing any damage to the Scripture, the way it's usually applied, and that is to your life and mine. Verse number 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? There is no way in this world that we get saved. The foundation is salvation. And our Christian lives have to be built only on the Lord Jesus Christ, and on nothing else but the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, okay, so the foundation has been laid. Now he says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone. All right, that's what we should be building with. Precious, precious building material. Then he says, wood, hay, stubble. Now, that's not what we should be building with, is it? And yet, many believers will take the wood, hay, stubble of the world, and they will fill their lives with the wood, hay, and stubble that's going to go up like a puff of smoke at the judgment seat of Christ, rather than the gold, silver, and precious stone that we should have. He said, now, verse number 13, he says, every man's work, and I'm just hurrying through this because I want to get on. I'm going to give you, as you can tell from your outline, what I call 5 steps to a happy, effective Christian life. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, he's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. After the rapture, all of us are going to stand. How many of you are saved? Yeah. All right. Now, after the judgment seat of Christ, I mean, after the rapture, we are all going to stand in front of at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may give account of those things which he hath done in his body, whether they be good or bad. So, what do we want when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ? What are we looking for? Anybody have an idea? Well done. Look, we're not looking for you're the greatest this, or you were the greatest that, or you were something else, but to have our precious Savior say to us that you did a good job. You know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We don't want our lives going up like a puff of smoke. He said, verse number 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now, every one of us want to be receive those rewards when we get in heaven. There's many different types of rewards that are going to be given by our Savior. Of course, most generally, we think about the five crowns. What will, if we receive those crowns, what will we do with them? Lay them at the Savior's feet. And we will say, thou art worthy. Not us, but him. And then in verse number 15, he says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, ask yourself the question, what do I want my life? Do I want my life going up by in a puff of smoke? He said that yet saved, yet so as by fire. We would say you got saved by the skin of your teeth. And that is, we get saved, we trust God for his salvation, and we're saved, and thank God, we don't have to do anything but repent of our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, right? That's all we have to do. But after that, we should start growing. Now, so we have the choice, and that's the building that we're talking about. After I got saved, very brief testimony. After I got saved in May of 1966, I think it was on a Tuesday night. I'm not sure about that, but I think it was on a Tuesday night in revival meeting at a little Southern Baptist church back in the panhandle of Texas. And that night, sitting back here, nobody ever even dealt with me. I repented of my sin and received Christ in my heart as my Savior, and went to church, and stayed in church for about 3 months, and then went back into the world. And my life was a disaster before I got saved, and it became even a bigger disaster, even as a saved man. I had a beautiful wife, as thank God. She stuck with me and didn't kill me until God I died. I'm very happy about that. And we had two wonderful children at the time. We actually have had four. We've got two of them that are in Southern California. One of them, our youngest son, is pastor there of Kenyon Ridge Baptist Church in San Diego. And our daughter and her husband have just gone on staff with him there. But we have a son that's in Miami, Florida, or Pembroke Pines area in Florida. And then we have one baby that's in heaven. And God had been so good to me. But I went back into the world. I was just having a great, hard time serving the Lord. And I stayed in that condition for about a year and a half and made my wife's life miserable. And honestly, I say it again, I honestly don't know how she put up with me. But one Saturday, God broke my heart. And I was out drinking and messing around. And I came home and I told my wife, now I want you all to think about how kind and gentle she dealt with me on this. I came home and I told her, I'm through with that lifestyle. I'm coming home to you and the children, and we're going to get back into church. And you know what kind words she said to me? She said, show me. Show me. And she's not even from Missouri, and she still said, show me. So I did. And I'm going to be very honest with you. Sometimes we think because we get saved and everything's going to change in an instant and in other people's lives, and it doesn't. It took me 2 years to gain my wife's confidence after I came back to the Lord, and rightly so. And but during that first 3 days, I started praying, and I was asking God to give me something that would help me. The greatest need after we get saved is to be discipled, and there's so little discipling that goes on. And we need that discipling in our life. We need somebody to take us and help us through our early days of Christian faith. So most of you in here, I would have an idea, have been saved for a good deal of time. And I assure you that you know a whole lot more about following the Lord than a lot of people do. And you ought to set out, you ought to say, I'm going to disciple somebody. I'm going to put them under my wing. I'm going to teach them how to grow in the Lord. And everybody in here could do that. And so I started praying. And now, I'm not getting spooky on you, all right? But we lived in a little duplex at 1301 North Cleveland Street in Amarillo, Texas. And the biggest thing, I think, in there, one of the biggest things, was a walk-in closet that we had. I think it was almost as big as the dining room was. And I went in there, and I'd go in there, and I'd pray. And I spent 3 days praying. Now, I went ahead and went to work, but I was constantly praying. And I was in there one evening, it seems like, and I was praying, and it was like the book of Daniel. Now, this did not happen, is what I said. I'm not getting spooky on you. But it was like God wrote 5 things on the wall for me to help me to grow as a Christian. Now, you'll find these 5 things in every good discipleship program that is printed. But I didn't know anything. I don't suppose I could have quoted John 3:16. I didn't know anything. And so I want to share those 5 things with you this morning. We have about 15 minutes, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to take the outline you've got, and I'm going to teach it from your outline rather from my notes this morning because we are running short on time. All right, 5 things. I call these 5 steps to a happy, effective Christian life. Now, by this time, we've started a number of churches. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I've taught these to hundreds of people who have taught them to other people. So there's been, I've watched a number of people grow. And I'm going to tell you, of all the people that we've shared these with, the people that kept all 5 of these in their life, there's only 1 out of all of them that got away from the Lord. Now, people that tried to do 2 of them or 3 of them and get by in their spiritual life, they're on the bone pile somewhere, and they didn't go on for the Lord. What are 5 things that you and I can do? Number 1 is daily Bible study. How many of you study your Bible every day? You love your Bible? Yeah, it's wonderful. I thank the Lord for it. Listen. Y'all tell me, all right, so on your outline, daily Bible study. Next, what is the Bible? All right, y'all talk to me now. I've been doing all the talking. I need you to help me. What is the Bible? All right, it's God's holy word. It's the eternal word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that word inspiration is, and I don't know Greek, but I'm going to give you what it's called, theonoustos. Theo is the word God, noustos is breath or spirit. All scripture is given by the Spirit of God. It is God-breathed. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, all 1,189 chapters of the King James Bible is God's Word. And we thank the Lord that we have God's Word. And I want you to think about this for just a moment. Take your Bible, would you, and just hold it out on your hands like that for a moment. I want to illustrate this. Just take your Bibles and lay it out there for a moment like that. And think about what you have in your hands. That's not a book. We was on the airplane coming up here the other day, and the head steward come by, and he saw me reading my Bible, and he bent over and he said, "That's a good book. That's a good book." And that always encourages you when you're. But think about this: you have in your hands the eternal, never-ending, never-dying Word of God. as you stand it there. I love to hug my wife. Thank you. I love to hug my wife. I do it a lot. I'm a romantic fellow with my wife, and I love to do that. But you know, every once in a while, I'll take God's word, and I'll just wrap it up in my arms, and I'll just hug the Bible. And I say, God, I love your word. I love your word. This is God's love letter to us. I think about when my wife and I met. My wife was raised the first part of her life in Tacoma, and then her mother moved to Spokane. I was stationed at Fort Lewis, and I met my wife when she was on a visit over there. So I knew pretty quickly how I felt about her. Took me a while to convince her that she felt that way about me. But when she came back to Spokane, she would write me letters. And when we'd get them there at mail call, man, I'd get that letter and I'd go off and I'd just read it and I'd read it and I'd read it and I'd read it. I'm a romantic fella. And I did what ladies normally do. I saved all those letters. I had them in my footlocker in the barracks. And I'd read those letters and I'd reread them. Well, listen, if I would read her letters over and over again, how much more should I read God's letter over and over again? And I ask you, you have a set time every day that you read God's word. Every day you look at God's word and you say, I've got to have it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That we would take the word of God. We would read it. We would love it. I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to fill in the blanks here for you real quick. But why should we study the Bible? Somebody help me out. Why should we study the Bible? Okay, so we can grow closer to God. This book is the only place in the world. Have you ever thought about this? That we're going to know God. There is no other way in the world we're going to know God. We don't know Him like most people try through our emotions. I am an emotional fella. But emotions can be good or they can be very damaging. Listen, the Bible is where we learn about the Word of God. We say, okay, what about creation? We know there is a God because there is a creation. But we don't know who He is and we don't know what He is without the Bible. So we know God. Why else? Y'all, there's a lot of reasons. Y'all remember, you're making me nervous now. I'm going to have to go back and start. I'm about to drink your water there, preacher. I'm going to have to go back. What are some other reasons why we should study the Bible? Yes, ma'am? Yeah, and that would be one that I have here. Look at C down underneath, and why study the Bible? It will guide us. Psalms 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the Bible is going to guide us as we go. What about somebody else? There's lots of reasons. Miss Chad? All right. I'm sorry? Okay, so we can share it with others. Aren't you glad somebody shared the Bible with you, right? And Ms. Chad, you said? All right, it reveals our sin to us. This old Bible will kick us, won't it? It'll get us, okay? Let me fill in those blanks for you. So that we can abide with Christ. John 15, 7 and 8, He said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, I'm just lost it, John 15, 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciple. So we abide in Christ. How about this one? So that we can be a proper workman. So that we can be a proper workman. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it will guide us. And Ms. Chad said about our sin. D is it will help us not to sin against God. Okay? Now, how do we study the Bible? Y'all have already figured out I'm not going to get through with this, right? Okay? How do we study the Bible? Pray. Every time we pick up the Bible and go to it, remember, we are entering God's spiritual book. And we need to ask Him, ask the Father, ask the Holy Spirit, guide me. Help me to understand your word. When I'm preparing a sermon or when I'm studying an old sermon, I'm sitting at my desk or wherever I'm at. I'll try to get on my knees many times throughout the time that I'm studying and ask God, give me understanding, give me. And in my daily devotions, those things. All right, secondly, study it systematically. Study it systematically. You've probably done this. You've asked people, how do you study the Bible? And they say, well, I just let it fall open. And I say, that is a dangerous way. We ought to systematically study the Bible. If you're not real familiar with the Bible, you ought to start probably with the Gospel of John and read it and reread it and reread it. And then you ought to go to the New Testament and read it and reread it. Then you start in the Old Testament and simultaneously read it and the New Testament. I have a daily Bible reading schedule where we read Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs each day. Miss Chad and I have been on that for many, many years, and we thank the Lord for it. All right, ask the W questions, okay? Who? Okay, who wrote it? Who said it? Who's it being said to? What? What was said? When? When was it said? The time during history makes a difference. To whom was it said? Why was it said? And if you'll ask those questions, it'll help you tremendously. All right, I've got to give you these other four very, very quickly, okay? Second step is daily prayer. Daily prayer. Remember that prayer, Bible study is God speaking to us. Prayer is us speaking to God. Now, have you ever sat with somebody and you wanted to have a conversation and they did all the talking? Have you ever done that? And there's not much conversation that takes place, is there? And our relationship with God, He certainly wants us to talk to Him. Oh my, how He wants us to talk to Him. I love it when my kids or my grandkids want to talk to me. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when that takes place. And God is that way. We are like Him. We want our children to talk to us, but we also need God to talk to us. So we have daily prayer, daily Bible study, and can I inject this real quick here? Remember this after you're saved, that God is your Father. I've got a lesson I teach on the model prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. And our society is so fractured, the whole world, that father relationships sometimes are not anywhere near what they ought to be, are they? I've had people tell me, and I had hardly no relationship with my father whatsoever. But listen, when we get saved, we have the greatest Father in all the universe. Amen? He loves us. He cares for us. And in spite of whatever we've gone through, whatever hurt that life has dealt us, God loves us and He cares for us. And He's always there. And when you pray, that's the one you're praying for. You're not praying to a God as hid out in some ivory tower somewhere, but He loves us and He cares for us and He's watching over us. And listen, number two down there, learn prayer promises. Just real quickly, find different verses in the Bible about prayer. Memorize them. Make them part of your life. How should we pray? Oh my goodness, I wish I had about a half an hour just to talk to you on this. You see the word ACTS? Put an X through that, would you? and over at the side write C-A-T-S, cats, okay? And it's just a simple outline on how we pray. How do we pray? The C stands for confession. So we go to God and we confess our sin before we begin to ask Him anything. A stands for adoration. We ought to praise God. I'll tell you, you and I ought to have a happy heart. And you can tell when you're around people very long whether they are a Christian that really praises the Lord or not. Okay, so we have confession, adoration, thanksgiving. Adoration or praise has to do with who God is. The thanksgiving has to do with what God has done. And then the S is for supplication, asking God. That means to ask God. So we have the little acronym CATS, C-A-T-S, confession, adoration, thanksgiving, supplication. All right, thirdly, so we said daily, five things, daily Bible study, daily prayer. Thirdly, church attendance. Church attendance. Most of you are familiar with Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We ought to be in church Sunday morning, ought to be in Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Used to be Dr. Lee Robertson that for so many years pastored the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And he had a saying, three to thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If I'm going to grow in the Lord, I need to be in the house of God. Amen. I've got to have it. Okay. So daily Bible study, daily prayer, church attendance. Fourth step is to witness for Christ. Witness for Christ. Preacher, I'm hurrying, hurrying, hurrying. Okay. And I'm going to make it before 10 till. I'm just going to say that you and I need to be a witness for Christ. We need to know how to win souls. But remember this, if you don't know how to win anyone to Christ at all, just remember that a witness, what does a witness do? Somebody tell us. What do they tell? They tell what they know. And how many of you are saved? Amen? So we can tell somebody what God did for us. And if that's all we can do. Now, again, I challenge you, if you don't know how to lead someone to the Lord, please get your preacher to teach you. All right? And then the fifth step is honor God with our tithes and offerings. Honor God with our tithes and offerings. The tithe belongs to God. The tithe is not a gift. The tithe, somebody said this, tithing is a debt we owe. Giving is the seed we sow. And so, give to the Lord. Let me ask you real quick. Anybody have a question? All right. Thank you very much. Father, thank you. Pray you'll take this and bless it and use it. Pray that, God, you'll help us with it and help us to grow. Thank you for Brother Carey letting me fill his pulpit today. And Lord, I never take that lightly when a pastor is kind enough to allow me to preach in his pulpit. Pray you'll bless. Pray you'll even bring someone in that's not saved and we might be able to win them to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.